Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Before we get started today, I wanted to remind you that you can find our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or on Fansmanship.com. You might be listening on one of those places. I also wanted to let you know that if you like the Fansmanship podcast, you might also like the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast that is also on our website. You can find that also on Fansmanship.com. It's me, Owen, and JD Scroggin. And so I would highly recommend, if you enjoy the Fansmanship podcast, check out Hurricane and Scroggs. Today we have a guest on our podcast. It's Faith Mimna, the head women's basketball coach at Cal Poly. We talked about the basketball team this year. Basketball season, like we know, is quickly upon us. We had Joe Calero on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I talked with Faith about losing a Big West Conference Player of the Year again in Molly Schlemer, and Molly's playing in Germany now professionally. I also spoke with Coach Faith about the incoming recruiting class, including Lisa Marie Sanchez, the twins. There's a pair of twins that are playing too, that are freshmen, and a couple of other players that are up and coming. And of course, maybe the most important thing, that piece of news that Faith got this summer, was that Ariana Elegado is coming back to play at Cal Poly for her final season, which makes Cal Poly, again, another dangerous team this upcoming season in the Big West. Last year, they finished second in the Big West tournament. They lost to Cal State Northridge, who also brings a lot of really good players back. So we talked with Faith about the outlook for the upcoming season, and hopefully you enjoy it. Let me know via Twitter. You can find us at Fansmanship. You can also find us on Facebook.com/Fansmanship. And I hope you enjoy the podcast today with Faith Mimna. Here with Cal Poly women's basketball head coach Faith Mimna. How's it going today?
It's going great. We're happy to get the season going.
Yeah, it's coming up. Basketball season's like fast approaching. I was looking at a couple of things schedule-wise the other day, and it's really amazing. It's just like a couple weeks now, and you know, you're so deep into fall sports, for instance, if you're me, and you look up and here comes basketball, like we're ready or not, right?
That's true. I know from a coaching standpoint, there's so much we still have to do, so it's coming a little bit too quick for me, but you know, the players get tired of playing each other, so I know they're eager to have a different opponent pretty soon.
How's your offseason been? Did you do anything fun this offseason?
Me personally, yeah. I was having so much fun working with our freshmen this summer. That was a lot of my off season. But you know, we have a really great group of newcomers, and certainly our returners are just awesome people and great players. So we're pretty excited. And I gotta tell you, the phone call I got from Ariana Elegado in August was probably the most fun of the year. And I was actually on the road when I got it, but I was jumping around like a mad woman when I actually got the news that she was returning.
So you didn't know that Ari was coming back until August, which is like, I mean, planning-wise, that's got to be crazy for you, right?
It definitely is crazy. And I had asked her a year before that, could you have a decision? Because we're in the midst of our recruiting.
Yeah.
And as the season progressed, we weren't trying to push her. But at the same time, you have to, you know, kind of have some answers about what you need to recruit and who's going to fill spots. And really, we were able to secure some really top-notch point guard in Lisa Marie Sanchez from Ventura College, and certainly Zonia Cormier that we had in our early signing period. But then to put one of the top players in the conference back on our squad, we're pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
But she finally made her decision, I think, after she had some time spent with the Sparks organization, and everyone there was telling her, you know, you really should go back for your final year. And seeing what Molly's been able to do with opportunities abroad and getting to play with a U.S. team this summer, or this spring rather, going to China. Those are all things I think that await Ariana. So I was so glad that she decided to come back, because I do think if she chooses to keep going with basketball, that she's got a bright future.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how did she tell you? Was it an email? Was it a phone call? Did you talk to her? Like, how did that communication work? And you said your reaction, you said you were jumping around, but describe, you were on the road, you said.
Yeah, I was just so excited. And again, I really was screaming. I was, I think the people that are in the hotel at the time were probably like, what is going on there? And calling the police department. I jumped on the bed. I was that excited. She's such a terrific person and, you know, somebody who I just love to death. And she is, she's a special kind of player. You know, you don't have a lot of players that really get the game and have a natural instinct about it. And she has it. And her enthusiasm lifts the team. And she's been that emotional leader for us since she stepped foot on our campus.
Yeah, so you had to make plans for what if she doesn't come back, too. And so, you know, you went out and recruited some point guards, some other guards out there. After having Jonae and Ariana for a couple of years together now, that had to be kind of a different experience for you, too, right? Kind of going out and, oh, man, I have to find a point guard now. I haven't had to do that maybe in a while.
It was, and we were really lucky to again, find some really top-notch people and top-notch players to help us in that regard. And, you know, to be able to actually play Ariana with other point guards is a very nice problem to have. Certainly, Ariana is a true point guard, and the last couple of years, having Jonae on our team, we were really able to afford to have her shift over to the two-guard spot and light it up from there. And you know, the fact that she can do anything and everything. I think she prefers a point guard position, but she's willing to do whatever the team needs. So whether she's playing the one or the two, she'll often say that she's ready to play the center if we need her there. Not a big need for 5'3" point or centers, but
right.
You know, she's ready to go to town for us.
Nice. So tell me about Lisa Marie Sanchez. We'll start there in terms of kind of some of the newcomers that are coming on campus this year that Cal Poly fans might not have seen before. Obviously, she played at Ventura College, was one of the top ranked players I know out there. Came from a really good team. Tell me a little bit about Lisa Marie and what Cal Poly fans can expect from her.
Well, you can expect pinpoint passes from her. She is so clever on the court. When you see the no looks from Ariana, and then Lisa Marie just finds people on the court like no other. She really is a great general on the court. I think that her abilities in watching her play with Ventura, and she was player of the year at the community college level in California. She can score it. She's got a nice floater. She really keeps the defense guessing about what she's going to do. She has tremendous ability to change pace. So I liken her a lot to like a Steve Nash, where she can run pick and roll to death and find all of her shooters all over the court. Her vision is exceptional. She can knock down the three. She's probably a little bit stronger in that regard than Jonae at the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have the same kind of speed as Jonae, but...
Not a lot of people do.
No. There's not too many people in that category. But she really can run the show, and, you know, she's going to be a tremendous asset for us.
Nice. And so I know there's lots of sorting to be done over the course of the beginning of the year, but, you know, having kind of a two-point guard system for the last couple of years, is that something that you might expect for Lisa Marie and Ariana to kind of start in the backcourt together, or kind of undecided at this point still?
I'm still undecided. They certainly play well together, so that's definitely a possibility for us. Kristen Ale is also showing some great stuff too.
And so somebody with a lot of experience this past year.
A ton of experience. You know, she was our sixth man last year, and she might move into a starting role, and maybe we go tag team and just keep after people the whole game and put a lot of pressure on them with our pace and the great point scoring ability we have both on the court and potentially coming off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. With Molly Schlemmer being the Big West Player of the Year a couple of years ago, and really being kind of a big force in the middle. As a coach, you say to yourself, "Well, I'd be silly not to go to that. You know, every time down the floor, if I can get the ball into the post to Molly, that's something we want to do." That being said, now you know you have some young bigs, some young post players. Who are maybe more in the, you know, Christina Santiago kind of can step out, can play a little bit. You talked about pick and roll. I'm picturing Hannah Gilbert as, you know, that other big in the pick and roll. And that's got to be kind of exciting for you as well. And maybe that, seeing the offense, I would imagine, maybe change up some this year in terms of not maybe dumping it down in the post with the post player with their back to the basket as much.
Man, you've been sitting in practice or something. We've done a lot of stuff to try to highlight the speed at which we're able to attack. And so Gilbert can run with the guards. She is as fast as anybody. And same with Garza, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a track star as well. So the speed that we can attack with the forward is really exceptional. And I think that that's the distinguishing factor for us in our league this year. We have great speed at the forward position. So instead of just, you know, plopping them on the low block position, we're trying to use them all over the court, a lot in the short corner, a lot from pick and roll opportunities, and of course just our great transition and trying to get them the ball there. The ability for them to rebound and really run, I think that we're going to be able to score even more points this year. We don't have that true back to the basket presence that Molly was able to give us. And
again, not a lot of teams do.
Yeah, they don't. There's not a lot of teams that have that kind of presence. Her ability to score, you know, 55% from the floor, if we can get any of our post players operating in those numbers, then we're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Definitely, yeah. I kind of talk about, or I think about, you know, one of the reasons why I really like watching college sports, whatever the sport is that you can see players sometimes make a big jump one year to the next. I think Ariana had that in her sophomore year. I want to say, you know, where you know, you're kind of a coming off the bench sometimes to, like, essentially a star on that team. I think when Jonae went down especially, Ariana really got that opportunity. And I think about this year's team, and I don't know all the players like you do, but I picture Hannah Gilbert kind of having that opportunity this year. I feel like you kind of have a great idea about what you might get from, like, Taryn. She's gonna get maybe 8 rebounds a game. She's going to get 8 or 10 points a game. She's going to, you know, play great defense. You know what you're going to get out of Elgato. You know what you're going to get maybe even out of Ale in terms of being able to spot up. But I think that opportunity, that's somebody that I've kind of, you know, that I look at that roster and I say, man, that's somebody who can kind of take that next step maybe this year. What do you think about that? Or are there other players that you're kind of picturing along those lines as well?
Well, I definitely think that Gilbert is somebody who's an incredible talent and a worker. You know, she's one of those kids that arrives at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning to get extra work with our post coaches.
Yeah, the few times I've been at the gym this early, you know, practice sessions, I've kind of walked by, and there's a couple times when I've seen Hannah just in there shooting by herself.
It'll happen before practice begins. It'll happen through the day. She's trying to get 1,000 shots in a day, and a little bit easier for a post player than a guard to do that, but at the same time, that's still a lot of shots to get into your day and still, you know, have an A average in schoolwork, which is what she's doing. So, you know, incredible work ethic. She's really dedicated to try to help us be the best that we can be as a team, and certainly that she can be as an individual player. Her abilities, I think, remind me a lot from a physical standpoint of like a Santiago that can just fly up and down the court. Santiago was a little bit more polished as a basketball player.
Polished offensively.
But Gilbert's, her length and her work ethic could maybe put her in a position that if she continues with this kind of growth, that we'll see her as a star in this league.
Yeah, you have some players that are listed, you know, 6 feet, 6'1", and a lot of teams do, and you kind of go, not sure. Gilbert's like legit 6'3".
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's not something, and as athletic as she is, I think that's not something that anybody sees very often. I wanted to ask you about some of the other newcomers too. And then I want to get to Taryn as well. But some of the other newcomers, some of the other freshmen that are coming out, really, the thing I was looking for in my bag before we were going to talk here is a roster that I printed out. Of course, it's at my house. So I'm going to let you kind of walk me through. I know there's a pair of twins that you have now that are freshmen that I just walked by in the hallway, and they look they look like players. There's Lisa Marie, but can you walk me through some of the newcomers that you have on campus this year?
Yeah, well, I definitely think that the LaPepe twins both are competing for a starting position, and they're called Lynn and Din. It's actually Gerald Din. And every time we get any kind of academic transcripts, everybody always throws one of them away, you know. We're like, no, they're two different people. Come on, people.
Oh, like they accidentally printed them twice or something.
Yeah, that's what they think. But yeah. So I'm like, they just try to make things confusing. But
their parents didn't help.
No, they didn't.
Went one letter off.
Exactly, yeah. Right. But yeah. They're really tremendous people and awesome athletes. If you think about Garza and how well she rebounds at, you know, maybe 5'8" or whatever the heck she is.
Yeah. She's listed at 6 feet, I think.
She is. She plays that thing.
I agree.
So it's hard
agree.
Not to see her that
I
way.
I agree.
But as tiny as she is, uh-huh. in real life, uh-huh. She is a player of big magnitude. And the LaPepe twins are the same way. Okay. Great athletes. Major, big-time offensive rebounders. Defensively, really get a lot of hands on things because they're just so quick and obviously powerful. So having their presence on the court has made us a different kind of team. We have now the ability to press. We're still a work in progress in that department, mm-hmm. but having that kind of presence on the court where we can get after people defensively. You know, we've always been pretty aggressive defensively, but in the last couple of years, we've been restricted to play a little bit more half court and really try to pack the paint a little bit more because we have had players that really are able to be utilized in that fashion.
Right.
Well, with our ability to stretch the court a little bit more, we're going to be able to do some more pressure, both full court and half court, and that excites me because that's what I love doing.
Right.
But the LaPepe twins are going to be front and center in that regard.
Yeah, they seem like, just like without having ever seen them play beyond like maybe a three-minute like YouTube clip from high school or something, they seem like they could grow into something like either one of them to like a Kayla Griffin kind of a mold in terms of players that can kind of be swing players that can play really strong and get rebounds and maybe be good offensively too. Is that an okay comparison?
It's a great comparison. They are players that do all the dirty work, which is what Griffin was really known for.
Right.
And Griffin was so unselfish of a player that she could have been a bigger scorer. I think the LaPepe twins are going to come out the gate and be big scorers for us immediately.
Okay.
And huge rebounders, huge defensive players. That's kind of the role that I see them being able to play. And people are going to love watching them. They are gritty and tenacious and really talented. They both can shoot the three. They've got pull-up jump shooting ability, which is kind of rare for freshmen, to be honest, at the women's game.
Mm-hmm.
But they both have that ability and obviously the ability to rebound the ball and push the break, do some things that, you know, Griffin was so well known for. But yeah, they're going to be great players, not just at Cal Poly, but in the league as well.
Great. And so tell me about other newcomers, that new faces or faces that maybe you've seen improve over the summertime who were already here.
Yeah, I think our other newcomers that are probably going to be able to get some real court time this year. Emily Anderson is a spot-up, lights-out three-point shooter. And at 6'1", she can kind of play the three or the four position for us. I've even thrown her some at the two-guard position. And, you know, she's going to see a lot of opportunities, especially when we're facing zone teams. But a real solid contributor, and she's really quite a young freshman. So the sky really is the limit for her. I think she's going to be a really solid player for us. And then Nicole Fossey is from Washington. And again, another legit 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, I was looking at the roster and it's like where do you get all these guys?
You know, they grow them tall there in Washington, but she is a great face-up shooter and can really knock down this, you know, 15, 17 footer with great consistency. Mm-hmm. She has really good post presence and is really working hard to try to gain some strength and muscle mass. That's a distinguishing factor between, say, a Schlemer Fossey versus Anna Gilbert.
Right.
You know, they're very different kind of body physiques.
Right.
But Fosse and Gilbert are going to be flying up and down the court and, uh-huh. and knocking down open jump shots yeah. and maybe a little bit less on back-to-basket stuff, but they're both very capable.
Yeah, you've talked a little bit about Molly, and Molly and Christina are both now playing professionally in Europe. What are your thoughts on that in terms of, like, how does that make you feel, like, knowing that you got a couple of players that, you know, are recent grads of Cal Poly who contributed really to the program's success over the past few years? And really, I mean, you know, the most successful run of your time at Cal Poly, I think. What does that mean to you to see them out there? How often do you communicate with them? What's your relationship still like with those players?
Yeah, I'm just so stoked about what they've been able to do and to take their game. And really, they're able to create opportunities for other people around the world to even know what Cal Poly, where it is, you know, because people look on the rosters and go, well, Cal Poly, never heard of that. I've heard of Tennessee, I've heard of Texas, heard of Connecticut, where's Cal Poly? So they're bringing great recognition to our university and to our basketball program. Just so happy for them because they both worked their butts off to become great players. And for them to be able to have an opportunity to play professionally, it's not the same kind of money that, you know, you'll see on the men's side of things, but still, it's an opportunity that didn't exist 20, 30 years ago.
I always say even to live somewhere else after college for a couple of years and get paid for it and to travel and see other places is pretty neat.
It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. And, you know, I always tease them and say, well, you're going to come home with a Bulgarian husband or now a German husband. Uh-huh. I can definitely see that happening for both of those gals. But, you know, they are so deserving of this opportunity, and I couldn't be more happy for them. Christina comes back and trains with our team in the summertime, and so I got to see her a lot this summer and works our camps.
She seems like she's found kind of a home in Bulgaria. I mean, she kind of tested the waters in Israel, I think, for a second, and Rusa seems like kind of her home at this point.
It is. Her boyfriend uh-huh. is Bulgarian as okay. well, not necessarily from that area. They actually met over here. Okay. But seems to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And she's a bit of a rock star over there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I gather. I think we had her on our podcast after her first season there, and she was kind of describing, like, just some of the culture shock, but seeming like, you know, when she goes out in town, people, like, know who she is in a pretty big city there. It's kind of neat.
It really is cool, and she's very deserving of that opportunity. I'm certainly hopeful that the fans here in the United States will one day get a chance to actually watch her in the WNBA. I know that that's a big ask, and it's somewhat politicized, and the rosters are so small. So
yeah, and the league's so small at this point, too. I mean, it's I didn't realize it before we had her on, but I was picturing, you know, a 20-team league or something, and it's just not that. And, you know, I think Luke, one of my kind of co-guys on the website, you know, asked her, like, so, you know, what has that ever been something you want to do? And it's like, well, you know, I'm sure it would be something everybody would like to do. But when you're talking about so few, like you said, so few roster spots and so few, such a small league at this point, there are, like, lots of opportunities elsewhere. And living elsewhere appeals to some people, too. And maybe she's somebody who can, like, handle that and kind of likes being somewhere else, too, for a little while.
Yeah, well, I definitely think it's a really cool opportunity. I was fortunate to be able to play basketball in Australia.
You did,
And it was so awesome.
Where did you play in Australia?
I played in Newcastle.
Okay.
And it was such a great experience for me to be able to travel and live in a different place. And, again, be able to even speak the language. I got g'day, mate, and all those things down. So it is kind of a little different, but I can at least understand what you're saying.
You ever have any conversations with Drake Uyu from the men's team who's playing in Perth?
I haven't spoken with him since he's gone over.
Okay, we've had him on too, and he, you know, again, another Cal Poly athlete playing somewhere else. It's kind of neat. You know, it's starting to become kind of you kind of get a map out and put pins in it at this point. It's almost worthwhile to do. So we were talking about newcomers, and you gave me kind of especially some of the bigs. It seems like maybe like the 3-4 position. It's nice when you can get two twins who are presumably similarly sized to be kind of in those swing positions. Sometimes when you get twins, like I'm picturing like the Lopez twins at Stanford,
Stanford's had the Collins twins at Stanford. One of them might be maybe more offensively inclined. One of them sometimes more defensively inclined. One of them is maybe like the tough bruiser. Maybe that's just how they're characterized. I don't know. But they're two individual players too. Do one of the twins have like more of an offensive game or defensive game? Are you still kind of trying to figure that out? Are they similar in terms of style and so forth?
They're very similar in terms of style. I think that Din goes to her floater a little bit more than Lynn does, and both are excellent jump shooters. Lynn has a little bit higher arc on her three-point shot than Din does. Okay. But other than those little tweaks, really, they're both tears on defense, and they're both real aggressive offensively. Going to the hole is really probably their greatest strength, but they can each knock down the three, pull up jump shot, the whole bit. So it's going to be difficult, I think, at first for people to distinguish between the two. I got it down.
Lucky now. They have numbers on their jerseys.
It is, and we try to be a little sneaky. One's 13, and one's 31. So hopefully we'll confuse our opponents.
I love it. I used to, I coached high school basketball in Florida for a little while, and there were coaches that would, you know, try to send different guys up to the free throw line after timeouts and stuff like that, and trying to like mess around with that. And I can't imagine what would have happened, if there were twins or something. I mean, because guys did it out there and people didn't catch it. I mean, sometimes, like, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well,
the hijinks.
If one of them becomes a better free throw shooter than the other, I'm going to definitely try that.
Awesome. 2 years ago, you guys won the conference tournament. You went to the NCAA tournament. Last year, Northridge really, it seems like their team just got, you know, a lot better. They bring, like, almost everybody back, it looks like. I was looking at the, you know, the poll at the beginning of the year, and it's like, you know, I'm like, wow, all these players were key players on their title team last year that you guys lost to in the final game. How much does like keeping up with the conference, what percentage of your mind does that take up in the off season in terms of knowing what everybody else is doing? I asked Joe the same question, and of course his answer was like, I can't really think about what everybody else is doing. I got to think about what we're doing. But the conference continues to get stronger, it seems like, I guess is my point. Davis returns a lot of players and is always a really tough team. Talk about kind of the state of the conference and your guys' where you think you guys fit into that.
Well, I wasn't surprised by our preseason pick of third, and I think that that's a...
Well, slightly behind Hawaii,
yeah.
Like by like a point or two.
Yeah, I was thinking that with Ariana's return that they would probably still put us in good stead. As it's turned out, I kind of like that position. It's only been one or two years that we've actually been selected as the top pick, and I didn't really like that. I guess I'm a natural underdog kind of person, and I think our team is too. Northridge is certainly a really talented team, and the team that I'm currently coaching has a bone to pick, shall we say. They really have it in their craw that they weren't able to overcome and defeat Northridge last year. And Northridge definitely had our number, and they're so talented. But I do believe that that has fueled our fire to try to be that kind of team that's on the upset watch. And so that's going to be a little bit of our MO this year, I believe. Certainly think that Hawaii, we had their number last year.
And are some great games, too.
I certainly think that they're an excellent ball club.
They're going to have you guys in their sights this year, I think.
I think so, too. We're not going to be a surprise for anybody.
Isn't that kind of nice, though? I mean, not nice, but, like, I mean, because you don't ever like to lose. But it's kind of fun to have a team out there that's, like, somebody you're gunning for, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, the rivalry that we've always had with Santa Barbara is still there.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But the players now don't have the same feeling about Santa Barbara as my former players do, because that rivalry was just so, you know, Santa Barbara won every single year after year. They were
champs. Talk about it being in your craw.
And so it was held such significance. And now to see some of those matchups change in the players' minds, you know, they really gun for Davis, they really gun for Northridge,
right.
And those weren't, you know, 20 years ago, those weren't the matchups that people were talking about. is interesting, and I'm glad that Cal Poly's in the conversation, because back in the day, Cal Poly was not on anybody's mind or lips. So I'm glad that we're in the conversation now.
Yeah, it's fun to be one of those teams and to have those teams. And I think it's good for the conference, too, when those teams do change sometimes in terms of parity and everything else. I mean, looking at the conference, the preseason polls, which really don't mean a lot. It was like Northridge up here, and then like Cal Poly and Hawaii were like right neck and neck. And then there were a number of teams like Davis that were right after. It's definitely going to be a fun season. Talk about your schedule this year. That was the other thing I printed out and awesomely didn't bring. Tell me about your schedule this year, preseason wise. You guys have gone to play Pac-12 teams in the past few years. I remember, like, it was Oregon or Oregon State that there was like both teams scored like 100 points or 90 points. Just, you know, some insane preseason games that you guys play. It seems like when you play San Francisco in the preseason, that's always like a super entertaining game too. Who are you guys playing this year, and kind of what are some of the standout games non-conference wise?
Yeah, I think for us this year, again, you have to do your scheduling so far in advance before you even know who's on your roster. And so as we approach this year, I thought, if we weren't going to get Elgato back, that we probably don't want to take on the biggest guns in the country.
Okay.
So there, you won't see a Stanford on our list this year.
Okay.
You'll see them probably next year, though.
Okay. Okay.
But we wanted to make sure that the players that we had this year weren't overcome with fear by facing the giants of the game.
Sure.
So all of our games, all of our preseason games, in my opinion, are winnable, but they're also losable.
Okay.
If there is that a word?
I don't losable, know. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Probably the biggest opponent on our preseason roster is when we go at Colorado State. Certainly having the opportunity for them to be repeat champs and go to the NCAA tournament and be in a position where they are a lot higher elevation than us here, here on the ocean front.
Little challenge.
It's going to be quite a challenge.
That's a cool arena, I think, to play in, too. Like,
I've never actually got to play there.
Yeah.
But interestingly, one of the great players from Colorado State, Becky Hammond, played in our gym pretty early on in my career here at Cal Poly. Great player. Maybe the best player we've ever had in our gym. And Ariana Elgato very much reminds me of Becky Hammond. So it'll be interesting for Ariana to take her game to their arena when we had Becky Hammond come to our arena.
Nice. And speaking of arenas, Mott's going to get a little bit of a makeover. It's already started. The court has a new look. Video scoreboard's coming up. What kind of a difference does that make for you in terms of going out and talking to players about, you know, where you play and the fan support that you guys have here and kind of the atmosphere that, you know, everything brings, from the band to the way the gym looks to the fans that are here?
I just think it's going to be so much fun. And obviously, Cal Poly, the arena, the Mott Athletic Center, has not been a place that would on itself attract recruits. Our university attracts recruits. Our program and the kind of people we have in our program, the family-type atmosphere, that attracts recruits. So being able to sell something in addition to those great qualities, and to me, you know, the quality of things that are real, not the stuff, but of substance, that is what has attracted people to Cal Poly. And that's why I have been able to stay at Cal Poly, because I love that Cal Poly's about those things. Having a little bit of the glitter isn't a bad thing. We are going to be very happy to be able to have a little bit of the glitter around to help recruits see that aren't as good about seeing the greatness of substance that might need just a little bit of help. I think this is going to help us a little bit.
Got it. And those should be up, I think, before the season starts, so that's kind of an exciting...
Yeah, we were told by the end of October, so...
That's what I've heard, too, although you never know with construction projects.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, but I've seen them running wiring or taking things off the wall. I mean, in there, I peeked in there a couple weeks ago. I didn't peek in there on my way up here, so that'll be fun to see for fans. What, you know what day your season kicks off and when your first home game is, since I didn't bring my schedule?
Sure. We play at Fresno State on the 16th. And that'll be a fun game, too.
Do the women play at the Save Mart Center as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this will be our second time playing at the Save Mart Center. So we're excited about that. And then we have our first home game against Portland on the 23rd of November. And that week is just going to be killer. We play Sunday, Tuesday against Pepperdine. So Portland, Sunday, Tuesday.
Home against Pepperdine.
Home against Pepperdine. Home for our Thanksgiving tournament on Friday and Saturday.
Wow. So you'll have like four games in six days.
Whew. Yeah.
Fun.
So we're going to have some, hopefully, some tired legs. But hopefully they get re-energized by having a little turkey in their belly.
And isn't that like, I mean, it's kind of like another unique challenge. You try to find ways to challenge teams before the season starts. That has to be one way to do it, right, is to play those games. And, hey, this is, you know, Big West tournament's potentially three or four games in three or 4 days.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to have to do that. We've been trying to push the last couple years to be able to get by and just be able to get into the semifinal and the final game.
Yeah.
But if things don't go according to plan, then that is the format of the Big West tournament. You got to play and win four games to be champs.
Yeah, potentially. And who's in your tournament, your Cal Poly tournament this year?
Yeah, we have Texas A&M. Corpus Christi, not A&M.
you got a big long pause there, Faith.
I want to distinguish that. And we play Dartmouth as well, and then Kent State.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Kent State Golden Flashes, I think.
We don't actually play them, but they're in our tournament.
They're in your tournament. Okay, all right, cool. So you could come and watch them if you're in San Luis. And Dartmouth Ivy League team, which is always kind of fun.
Yeah, we were able to play Harvard last year at DePaul's tournament, and that was I wasn't sure what to expect with Ivy League, and they really represented well. The Ivy League is tough.
Well, good luck this season. I really appreciate you taking the time, and have a great season.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up.